We sing that God would be glorified in all the earth. I hope that's your prayer tonight. I think it is. I do. I really think it is. And the way that God is glorified is by our continual pursuit of the things that He loves and the continual and growing rejection of the things that He hates. And so if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 6, we will continue our study of seven things that God hates. And I really hope that in studying the things that God hates, that you really see the beauty and the glory of its opposite. That God simply doesn't hate things because He hates things. But He hates them because He loves the opposite. And so when we say that God hates haughty eyes or that God hates pride, what we're really saying is that God loves humility. Now, I was going to say tonight that in all deference to some of you, especially you football fans, that I would try to get done a little early. But that would be a lying tongue, which is what God hates. Secondly, in this passage, God hates a lying tongue. Why? Because God loves the truth. And last time we talked about the fact that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. And He hates hands that shed innocent blood because He loves life and He loves the innocent. Well, tonight, what we'll see is the next thing. So let's read in our text, starting in verse 16 in Proverbs chapter 6, where we find this. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You first of all for the things that You love. We love that You love Your glory and will not share it with anyone else. And so You hate pride because You love humility in Your creatures. And Lord, we thank You that You love truth. That instead of seeing truth as a weapon to bludgeon the ignorant, You see the truth as a means by which You grant them life. And because of Your love of the truth, You hate lying tongues. Lord, we confess freely to You that we are prideful people. And we are liars sometimes. And Lord, we thank You that You love innocent life. That You love babies. And You hate when Your innocents are exploited or murdered. Not because You hate it just to hate it, but because You love its opposite. And so, Lord, as we look at the text tonight and talk about what it means that You hate hearts that devise evil plans, help us not to forget that Your hatred against our evil plans is because You love hearts and minds that delight in good things. And, Lord, we recognize that all of our evil actions are the result of our evil thoughts. And all of our evil thoughts are the result of our evil hearts. And so I ask that You would help us to watch over our hearts with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And we ask this to the praise of Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In your notes, you'll notice a quote by George Whitefield. I don't know how many of you are aware of George Whitefield, but George Whitefield was one of, if not arguably, the greatest evangelist on American soil. In fact, he was, in his day, he had preached to more people in America, in terms of percentages, than any other human being has in history, even guys like Billy Graham. At one point, he preached to the colonies so much that almost every single person came into contact with his teaching, so much to the point that Benjamin Franklin, who hated Whitfield's theology, still profited greatly by printing his sermons. And he says this: "Watch the motions of God's blessed Spirit in your souls." See, I wish I could talk like that, right? I can't talk like that. "Watch the motions of God's blessed Spirit on your souls, and always try the suggestions or impressions that you at any time feel by the unerring rule of God's most holy word. And if they are not found to be agreeable to that, reject them as diabolical and delusive." He says this. Be very careful. Here's the simplified, here's the Dom version of what he said. Be very careful what you feel, and be very mindful of what you think. And when what you feel or what you think is at crosshairs with the Word of God, reject what you think and reject what you feel as diabolical, that means from the devil, and delusive, that means it'll drive you out of your wits. George Whitefield understood what the text calls us to tonight, and that is to watch over our hearts very carefully and very diligently. Now, this is totally out of step with our culture, where we're told to look within and to find whatever it is that is within us, and that is our truth, and that is our celebration. And the Bible says almost the exact opposite of that, as we'll see. God hates a heart that devises evil plans. Now, what does this mean? This means simply this: God not only hates evil actions, He hates the motives that lead to those actions. And if you're anything like me, you stop yourselves from most of the evil actions. And praise God that nobody knows the evil motives. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been driving to church on Sunday morning and the whole way there you're arguing with your spouse? Jen and I never, ever argue on the way to church. You know why? Separate cars, that's why. That is the key to marital bliss. But there was, amen. But there were times early on when we did take the same car, and there would be rough times where we would argue the whole way there, and we would get angry with each other the whole way there, and we'd look at each other, and one would say to the other, "Well, I hate your face." And the other one would say, "I hate your face." And then we'd get to church, and people would say, "How are you?" "Good, brother. How are you?" "All right, Schnookums, you want me to take your jacket?" Right? See, we hold ourselves back from, at least in front of other people, sharing and acting on some of our wicked, evil, sinful thoughts. But God doesn't just hate the actions. God hates the motives that lead to these actions. God doesn't just hate murder, as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. God doesn't just hate murder. He hates the anger that leads to murder. And this gets us every time. Because as good as we are at restraining our evil actions, none of us are particularly good at restraining evil motives. They pop into us. They bubble up in us, and sometimes we don't even see them coming. God hates those motives. He hates hearts that devise evil plans. Have you ever heard about how creative thieves can be, and how they can skim your information from a credit card, and how they can walk by you, some of them, and steal your information with these I'm a technophobe, I'm afraid of technology, but these little doohickeys on our thingamajigs, right? And have you ever just said to yourself, if they would just invest that creativity and that thought into acts of righteousness, they would be great evangelists, right? God hates a heart that's always developing and always thinking and always devising wickedness. Not just the acts of wickedness, but the motives that lead to these acts. So let's hear from the Word of God. And if you have your notes, I'll be throwing a lot of verses out tonight, and you'll see them in your notes. In Zechariah 8:17, it says this, "Also let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. And do not love perjury, for all these are what I hate, declares the Lord." See, this isn't the only place in the Bible where God says he hates wicked plans. In Zechariah 8, he says that very thing. Stop devising wicked plans against each other. What is he saying? Stop the processes in your own heart that will lead you to treat your brother disdainfully, or as Whitfield said it, watch the motions of God's blessed Spirit in your souls. Watch them. Genesis 6:5, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth," and listen to this, beloved, "and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Some of you may remember that MTV used to be a channel that played music. Remember that? Music television, you'd actually play music. And their slogan was, "All music, all the time." Well, God, in Genesis 6, looks at humanity and says, ETV, all evil, all the time. Every intent of their heart was wicked. And that led God to do what? To flood the earth and kill all but a handful of human beings and all but a handful of animals. Okay, in Jeremiah 17:9, it says this, "Follow your heart and do what you think is your truth." No, it doesn't. It says the direct opposite of that. Listen to this. It says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Friends, before we act deceitfully, before we act corruptly, before we act sinfully, we think sinfully. We feel sinfully. We devise wicked plans. God hates that. He hates that heart. Why? What is it about a heart that runs to evil, that devises wicked plans, that God finds so distasteful? Well, in your notes, you'll see this. God hates a heart that devises evil plans because evil hearts delight in things that are unprofitable and irreverent. Unprofitable and irreverent. What do I mean by this? I mean simply this, that a heart bent on evil loves things that can do them no good. And God wants your good. And the means by which you will be blessed is to think and to feel and to devise good things. Notice what God says in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying this, not only did Israel act wickedly, but they also rejected the only means of their truest happiness, the Lord himself. And that's two evils. To forsake him is evil, but then to try to make yourself happy, try to make yourself godly without God is a second evil. In Hebrews chapter 3, the author of Hebrews says this, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." An evil heart delights in things that are unprofitable. So why does God hate these things? Secondly, he hates them because evil thoughts lead to evil actions. Heard the expression, "It's the thought that counts." Well, isn't that true to a certain point? It is the thought that counts. And imagine your spouse just staring at you. And you're like, what is wrong with you? And he says, I'm very mad at you. And I want to throw something at you. But I didn't. Would you go, you are so romantic? No, because it's the thought that counts. Evil actions are simply the result of evil thoughts. And Psalm 36:4 says this, he plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. Back when I lived in Missouri, my office at the church was right across the street from a convenience store. And I developed a habit of going over there, you know, most days, and buying Little Debbie snack cakes. You know what these things are? They're delicious and they're cheap, right? And you could always find 25 cents for a Little Debbie snack cake. So I started calling them Satan snacks. Right? The reason why I called them that was because they're easy, cheap, and they're delicious, but they're not good for you. And what God says here is that he plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. What he's saying is this, not that he commits evil, but that he puts himself in a position where evil will tempt him. Not to say that Little Debbie snack cakes are evil, but they're close. Micah 2:1 through 3 says this, woe to those who scheme iniquity, who work out evil on their beds. Have you ever done this? Have you stayed up late at night just fuming because of maybe an unkind comment somebody made to you that day? And you're planning not what you will say, but what you would say if your words had no consequences. Have you ever done this? Have you ever had imaginary arguments with people? Well, you sit there, you're up late at night, and you go, if he says one more thing to me, I'm going to let him have it. And you know you won't. God hates that. God hates a heart that stews and plans evil, big, grandiose, fight-provoking evil things, even if you restrain yourself from doing them. Woe to those who scheme iniquity, who work out evil on their beds. When morning comes, they do it, for it's in their power of their hands. They covet fields, and then they seize them, and houses, and they take them away. They rob a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am planning against this family a calamity from which you cannot remove your necks, and you will not walk haughtily or arrogantly, for it will be an evil time. In fact, even in Matthew 12, we find this. You brood of vipers, Jesus says. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And Jesus says, you speak wickedly because you think wickedly. You act wickedly because your heart is wicked and it devises wicked plans. Jesus says, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. So why does God hate a heart that devises evil plans? Well, first of all, because we delight in things that are unuseful and irreverent. Secondly, because evil thoughts lead to evil actions. And thirdly, because evil thoughts are often marginalized. Make me feel better. Have you ever thought something and kept your mouth shut and didn't share it? Could you slip it up here? Just make me feel better. Right. Have you ever gone home and said, oh, I held it in this time, but you wait till next time? And what do? We pat ourselves on the back as if we did something that honors Christ. And sure, resisting one sin honors Christ, but it was there. It was in there. Jesus knows that, as we talked about this morning. God is fully aware of that. And he hates it. And instead of dealing with the heart, we pat ourselves on the back that it didn't make it to our mouths. Or how about this? Have you ever had a situation where your children were being persistently, continually disobedient? And you just want to spank them. But you say to yourself, you know what, I can't, because I would be doing that in anger. And so you restrain your hand. But in your heart, the reason why you restrained your hand is because you know you might go overboard with your hands. And then you say, whew, I'm such a good parent that I didn't do anything about it. Well, maybe, but it was still there. See, I don't know that experience because my children have never been bad. I don't know. I will tell you this, though. One of my children has, when she was littler, now you know who she is, she had an incredible mind power over me. And I remember she was little and she did something wrong, and I said, that's it, it's time, you're getting a spanking. And she says, no, Daddy. I said, oh, okay. And I go, what? She goes, it's not spanking time yet. And I said, oh, okay, will you tell me when it is? And she says, of course, Daddy. And she walked out of the room. And I realized she just used the Jedi mind trick on me. That was crazy. The point is that we're not to celebrate simply that the wickedness and the anger and everything else in our hearts simply stays in our hearts. We should deal with our hearts. And how many husbands would say, you know, even though I lusted after a million women, I never touched them. As if that impresses God. It doesn't. Now, it is good you didn't touch them. But God hates hearts that devise wicked plans, not simply hands that get too grabby, right? Evil thoughts lead to evil actions, but we often marginalize our thought life. And we think that so long as we don't act on our thoughts are our own private playground, and God hates that. In Psalm 94:7, he says this, and they have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. In Matthew 5:27-28, Jesus said this, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see his point? His point was, we're so quick to pat ourselves on the back when we don't act in evil ways. Jesus doesn't want us to think in evil ways, to feel in evil ways, or in ways that lead us to evil. And Jesus is not impressed that although we're filled with lust, we don't act on it. God is not impressed that even though we're filled with anger, we don't lash out or we don't hit somebody. God wants us to deal with that anger and deal with that lust and deal with that sin in our hearts. Because he hates when we entertain wickedness in here and think nobody knows about it. Why? Because he knows about it. The point here is that many assume they're fine. The Pharisees especially assumed that they were fine so long as their thought life did not carry over into sinful actions. Jesus corrects this thinking by reminding them that the thought is considered sinful just like the action is. Fourthly, God hates hearts that devise evil because our evil thoughts destroy our testimony by compromising our integrity. I love this verse in Proverbs. Look at this in your notes. Proverbs 24:8. One who plans to do evil, men will call a schemer. What does that mean? That means evil, wicked plans eventually boil over and then people don't trust you anymore. So what should we do about our evil, scheming hearts? Now, I know that some of you, I mean, it's been a couple of months now, and some of you might be thinking this. You might be thinking, Dom has a very low opinion of humanity. You might be thinking that Dom has a very low opinion of the human heart. Let me set your minds at ease. You are absolutely right. I have a very low opinion of human hearts because I have one and I know how wicked it is. I hopefully, and you hopefully, have a very low opinion of a human heart and a very high opinion of God's heart. So what should we do with the evil, wicked hearts that we are just plagued with until the rapture? First of all, we must repent. Repent. See, repenting is not just something you do the day you get saved. It's something you do as a lifestyle forever, or at least until we're with Jesus again. Repentance is a lifestyle, not a one-time action. Jeremiah 4:14 says this, "Wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you?" James 4:8 says this, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts." Look at this, "you double-minded." God wants our hearts to be pure, and He hates when they are not. We must repent. Secondly, we must guard our hearts with vigilance. Proverbs 4:23 is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It says this, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." What does this mean? Have you ever made something worse simply by having a bad attitude? Absolutely. Have you ever overreacted to things? I sure have. I'm one of the great overreactors of our time. Sometimes I think the sky is falling. Sometimes I think it's beautiful. I'm a very extreme person emotionally, right? And we have to watch that because our life springs from our heart. Remember what God said in the Old Testament? The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. What that means is when you are happiest in Jesus, you are strongest against the world. And so that's why he can say, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." We don't correct behavior externally. We seek to correct hearts that will lead to changed behavior. Have you ever made your kids say thank you? I love this. Oh no, how about this? Say, I'm sorry. Made your kids say, "I'm sorry." Like when they're arguing with each other and you say, "Stop it. Stop it. Now apologize. Sorry." Now you apologize. Sorry. And you're just go to separate rooms or separate corners. One of the two, whatever. Right? We could make them say, "I'm sorry." What can't we do? We can't make them sorry. We can threaten them and we can say, I'll give you a reason to be sorry. But then they're really not sorry for the right reason. We can't make that. But that should be our aim. Hebrews 12:14-15 says this, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God." And notice this, "that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. By it many be defiled." More people are ruined because they don't deal with bitterness here. They're ruined because by the time it gets to action, by the time it shows itself, it's too late. They should have nipped it in the bud. They should have killed it when it was fresh. And so if you're here tonight and you're harboring hard feelings towards somebody, and you think, you know what, I could think whatever I want to about them. It does not matter. Friend, it matters. Get rid of it. Repent of it. Get on the same page. Now do it in a nice way, obviously. In the first church I ever went to, we had this service where we talked about forgiveness, and he said, now, let's just stop and you just approach someone and get things right if you need to. And this lady came up to me and she said, I just want to tell you why I hate you. And I was really shocked. I thought we got along pretty well. Don't do that. Don't walk up to somebody and say, you know what, let me tell you why I hate you. No, don't do that. But if you have a problem with somebody, don't reassure your heart that you haven't slugged them. Deal with that. And you might end up liking them, treating them like brothers. Ephesians 4:26-27, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Isn't that amazing or what? Bitterness left unchecked leads to violence. Anger that goes unchecked leads to murder. We must guard our hearts with vigilance. Thirdly, we must concentrate our minds on things that bring honor to the Lord. The best way to not think bad things is to think good things. And it's hard not to think bad things. It's the way our minds work. As soon as you bring up bad things, you start thinking about bad things. Let me test you. Don't think about an elephant. What are you thinking about right now? An elephant, right? So what we have to do is be very strategic and very specific about what we are going to think about. And instead of thinking about our feelings being hurt, or maybe our honor being somehow minimized, or pride being affected, or any of these things, about our rights not being met, let's think about Christ and fill our minds with Him and with His Word and with His goodness, so that there's no room in there to think of anything else. Or as Paul says here in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Let me ask you, is there anything worthy of praise? Absolutely there is. There's a God worthy of praise. Is there anything excellent? Of course there is. There is a Lord Jesus Christ who is excellent in all His ways. There are things to think about. Concentrate on those things. So what can we do about this? First of all, we can remind ourselves that evil loves result in evil deeds. I know that's a weird way of saying it, so let me say it this way. What we delight in will determine what we do. What we delight in will determine what we do. So deal with your own hearts so that you would delight in the right things. A husband who's so crazy in love with his wife doesn't have to make himself do good things for her. It's natural. A wife who loves her husband doesn't have to force herself to respect him and to say good things. It's the natural byproduct. Remind ourselves that evil delights result in evil deeds, just like honest and good and holy delights result in holy deeds. In Mark 7, verses 20-23, it says this, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, now notice this checklist. And think about this next time somebody says, well, just follow your heart. You know? Notice what Jesus says about our hearts. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed, look, from within and defile the man. Jesus had a very low opinion of the human heart. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. We can remind ourselves that evil delights result in evil deeds. And lastly, we can cry out to God to fill our hearts with affection for Him and for the truth. In Proverbs 8:17, now this is wisdom speaking. Wisdom says this: I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. That's a promise that if we love the right things and we seek the right things, we'll do the right things and we'll delight in the right things, and etc. Now, getting back to Proverbs 6, and I know this is different. I am preaching through a text, but it's a list, and so we're bouncing all over the Bible, and I appreciate your patience on this. But let's just get back to the verse 16, and let's read these things again and let them resound in our hearts. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked plans. Do you realize that God mentions evil thoughts and a wicked heart in the same breath as He mentioned the murder of the innocent? God hates these things. Next time, we'll talk about feet that run rapidly to evil and how God hates the attitude that they just can't seem to sin enough. They just can't restrain themselves. And then we'll talk about the very last thing in a couple weeks, one who spreads strife among brothers. Another one of my famous favorite dead preachers, Thomas Manton, said this: God alone sees the heart. The heart alone sees God. Watch over your hearts with all diligence, brothers and sisters, for from it flows the springs of life. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, the more we know ourselves, the more we understand ourselves to be sinners, saved by grace, if we're saved at all. Lord, thank You that You love us despite all the wicked plans and wicked thoughts that lodge within our hearts. Lord, we are critical. We are irritable. We are judgmental. We're prideful. We're stubborn. We're slow to receive Your commands and even slower to obey them. And yet, You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die. Lord, I pray for all the believers in this room that You would help us to continue to deal honestly and deal diligently with our hearts, so that we would love lovely things, so that we would delight in truly delightful things, so that we would obey You as our pleasure instead of simply as our duty. That our chief joy and our highest delight would be found in thinking and doing what You command of us. And Lord, I pray that You would protect us from despondency, from despair. You are mindful that we are just dust. And your great love is magnified because of that. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you that you are God and we're not. May we live, may we think, may we walk, may we sing, may we whatever we do, all to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.